welcome
to Ray and Tay today. Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. You're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, hyped up on a football Monday. Join us. Give us a call. Have some fun talking sports. 718-664-9098. Like always, you can hit us up. Send us your emails. We're getting a lot about the playoff picture at Ray and Tay today. @gmail.com. Check out the website. It's got the current, you know, and up-to-date NFL standings, all the good stuff. And that's RayandTayToday.com. Tweet, Facebook us. Do what you got to do. People have been tweeting at us, so we've been getting back to you. So it's a lot of good hot talk on Twitter. And, Ray, let them know, man, what we're doing. We're doing football.
Yeah, we got a lot of football to talk about. We'll start with the breaking news. We got a bunch of injuries hot off the presses. We'll talk to you about that. We'll review the games this weekend. We'll talk about the NFC playoff picture. We'll talk about the AFC playoff picture. And then we'll talk about the Monday night football game. We've got the last game at Candlestick Park. So we'll get into that. Wow, that's a lot of memories at Candlestick Park. And
yes,
programming reminder, we've got a game. I mean, sorry, we got a show tomorrow talking about Candlestick Park and the shutting down of Candlestick Park. And we've got so much more to talk about on this show. We'll talk about, also we've got a new segment we're bringing in, Doing More with Less. We're going to talk about two football players whose teams and rosters are not as impressive as their numbers are. So we give them credit. They're doing more with less. And finally, we'll end the show with some basketball. We'll talk about college hoops, we'll talk about some of the college football games, we'll talk about some college hoops, and then we'll go around the NBA. So a lot to get into. Let's start with the breaking news. We got injuries, Tay. Let them know.
Oh, man, it's upsetting. I feel bad for the Broncos. You know, can probably get the number one seed. Manning, we'll talk about that, the touchdown record. But the best pass rusher, who has been out for part of the season for other reasons, but now he's injured. Von Miller is, what, tore ACL, out for the season, for the rest of the season. It looks like our boy in Carolina land, Steve Smith, the PCL, so he's going to miss at least this week and the last game of the season for the Panthers-Falcons. Maybe he'll make it for the playoffs because the Panthers did clinch. We'll talk about that. But then the news of the day, herniated disc, potentially done for the season. He will have to have surgery, Tony Romo. The Cowboys are sort of playing a little cat and mouse with that one. Ray, you're a Cowboy fan. For you, Fish, Jonas, our boy Quam up in heaven, my cousin Tom, Tony, all the Cowboy fans, tell me, are you ready to rock and roll versus those amazing Eagles with Kyle Orton?
How about them Cowboys? Well, this is what I fear. I fear that the Cowboys have an excuse to lose the game. Monty Kiffin's defense has been the worst defense in the NFL, so that's the excuse if Philly puts up 40. And then if this offense can't score, the excuse would be Tony Romo going down. And Jason Garrett, we all talked about how his job might be on the line. And this gives yet another excuse to him and Jerry Jones to delay that decision for another year. So that's my fear, is the whole Cowboy Nation now is going to be okay with losing this game without Tony Romo.
Yeah. So, hey, you know, I don't agree. I disagree. I don't think they will. I don't know, unfortunately, if your guy was ready to fire Garrett or not, and we won't know. And he, you know, a bad enough blowout loss at home, and he still might do it. But, you know, I think it's just a weird situation. Let's give him some credit. You know, we're talking football. We were going to start with the Bears-Eagles, but let's stay on your Cowboys, who, you know, the Cowboys and Eagles play next week. It's going to be a matchup. But let's say the positive stuff first. You handled Kirk Cousins. Your defense played better than they normally do. Even Pierre Garçon got off and got busy. I mean, what, 11 receptions, 100 and some odd yards.
Brandon Carr couldn't handle him.
No, he couldn't. But you know what? They did enough. They got off the field. And, you know, Romo played a smart game, sort of got the one pick out of his system early. And then they bounced back. And, you know, it was DeMarco Murray. And I guess for you now, maybe it'll be a blessing in disguise because you set it off air. Maybe DeMarco Murray gets like 35 carries, and maybe he runs you into the playoffs. Either way, I don't think
they'll be more disciplined. They won't be taking crazy chances on offense. So for better or for worse, they're going to be running the ball, play action, screens, high percentage passes, and what they might be able to do with that is possess the ball more and maybe take a possession away per half from the Philadelphia Eagles, and that may be the best defense they could ever have is to just limit Nick Foles' possessions.
Yeah. Well, London Fletcher, he, you know, last game at home for the Redskins, you know, he's going to retire. They lose to the Cowboys 24-23. Kirk Cousins is 0-2, so it wasn't RG3 for the RG3 haters out there. You just hope Kirk Cousins has showed himself well enough to potentially – you know, get a trade. Looks like the Redskins could get the number one pick, but ha-ha, that number one pick is for the Rams, who, oh, by the way, are on their way if they upset the Seahawks in Seattle, which the Cardinals just did. The Rams could wind up being 8-8 in the best division in football. So let's look at the Eagles. I mean, we're talking about the playoffs. It's all on the line. And, you know, the Bears going into the game win, and it was over. Now they got to play Green Bay, but they lose 54-11. I can't explain not only the defense imploding like that, but even more so, 11 points. I think Chip Kelly's Eagles are just, they're one of the most dangerous teams right now in the NFC because I think they can score with anybody. Cooper got a touchdown. He's playing good. DeSean Jackson, Shady McCoy and Nick Foles, you know what, he does not fold under pressure, it looks like. And I think the Eagles are dangerous. The Bears, that was embarrassing. Cutler, you know, 222 yards with all those receivers and talent, one touchdown. I was, you know, I was kind of bad. I don't know. What'd you think about the Eagles?
This is the same Eagles team that laid an egg in Minnesota the week before. So the NFL is just like that. But you'd hate to think, as a Chicago Bears fan, that Jay Cutler, you know what's funny, is that most athletes in any sport, but particularly in football and even maybe even more so in basketball and baseball, when they're about to sign their big contract, for some reason they play their best, right? They eat their Wheaties, they go get their, you know, eat their egg yolks
their
in the
rest.
Morning, and they get their rest, and they get their, you know, ginseng and their acai berries, and they do whatever they need to do to play their best game. And you could argue this may have been Jay Cutler's most important game as a Bear, given the fact that he could have put them in the playoffs, and he can sign a huge extension if he shows, you know, if he shows worthy to, you know, to the GM, and he just doesn't, I mean, he doesn't play horribly. If you look at his numbers, he was 20 for 35, 222, a touchdown and an interception, but against an Eagles defense that the week before had given up 45 points to a Minnesota team on their third-string quarterback and their third-string running back, they only score 11 points? Really?
Yeah, and what's really wild about that also, the Packers, they lost earlier, 38-31 to my Steelers. We'll talk about them when we get to the AFC. But now it's the Packers and the Bears for the title. No word yet on Aaron Rodgers. It's only Monday. You know, Ted Thompson, and it seems like, you know, everybody up in the front office wants to just keep him out. But you got to wonder. Clay Matthews goes out again with that thumb. Do the Packers play Rodgers in this game for the division to win the NFC North?
I don't think he's playing. I think the medical staff and Ted Thompson are basically saying until he's 100%, we're not going to risk our franchise. The team, especially Clay Matthews, will be out. The team has weaknesses. This isn't a year we're going to the Super Bowl. We don't want him to break his clavicle again and then have to be out and miss OTAs and training camp. So I think he's out. I don't think he's playing. But speaking of disappointments, let's talk about the Seattle Seahawks.
Oh, you owe somebody an apology.
Well, yeah, I do. So the Seattle Seahawks had a chance to cement themselves the division, a top two seed, and an undefeated record at home this year. And they went and only put up 10 points and lost 17-10. Now, they lost 17-10 despite the fact that they picked off Carson Palmer four times.
And Russell Wilson played bad. What, do you have, like 104 yards passing?
Yeah. They could only generate 10 points. So the Arizona Cardinals are in the mix. And, yes, I do owe them an apology regardless. I still don't think they're going to make the playoffs. But at 10-5? They're fantastic.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic story. And you know what? I said Sean Payton before the year would be Coach of the Year, but Bruce Arians needs to win his back-to-back Coach of the Years. I mean, this guy is unbelievable.
No, it's a great – but I told you also, that defense, man, they stepped up.
Yeah,
Dansbury, the
run.
Boys. Yeah, and even Andre Ellington, got his 64 yards, and you get 63 from Mendenhall. They have a nice little balance. And, yeah, Carson Palmer will turn you over, but I got to tell you, in a defensive battle, the way that they stood strong and sort of got the team off the field. Russell Wilson was 11 for 27. This is probably his worst game as a pro. 108, throws a touchdown and a pick. Well, that pick was definitely a question. It looked like it hit the turf, but hey, they've had some calls go against them this year, as my 14-year-old son Elijah said. So the Cardinals got a break and they got that win. And if the Saints lose, and they have a shot to beat the Niners next week, we'll see what happens tonight. But the Cardinals, they still have a shot to make the playoffs. Especially if the Niners lose tonight.
Yeah,
then they really have
a shot. I don't think they will, but still, kudos. Look, if you told me you're going to go into Seattle, which has the best home field advantage in the NFL, and lose the turnover battle 4-2 and
still win
the game, hey, that victory is unbelievable, but that puts them at 10-5 with a chance. So let's keep it moving in the NFC. So we've got – all right. So we've got at the top of the NFC, we thought we knew what was going on, and yet we know now that it's still up in the air. Seattle has to keep winning to win home field advantage throughout the playoffs, but they do.
Right. They must beat the Rams next week at home.
They win next week, yes. And the Rams are no gimme. Now, let's talk about behind them, the two seed. So the two seed in the conference could be, right? It could be the Carolina Panthers or the Niners. So
I got to believe the Panthers. Even with Steve Smith out, I think that they're going to be able to handle the Falcons next week. Carolina is their defense. I mean, and, we look at that game and they took care of the Saints as I thought that they would. Ray went with a surprise. I was a little surprised by your pick, but he went with the Saints, on the road. 17-13, Panthers win. Give him credit. Jimmy Graham, he's probably the best tight end of football, did his thing. But Killer Cam comes back down the field, and to Ted Ginn Jr. throws the touchdown, a great drive, and they win the game. But that defense, talk about your boys, Lou Kuechly, 24 tackles and an interception, and then Thomas Davis, who, what do you have, he said 15 tackles.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
that's what you need. And D'Angelo Williams, a solid game, 67 yards,
And I think you're seeing the maturation of Cam Newton. I mean, I think Cam Newton is really proving that he can turn it around from being the Heisman Trophy winner and the guy who in his first two NFL games throws for 400 yards to the guy who's saying to himself, it's all about winning, right? It's not about putting up Peyton Manning numbers. It's about putting up the best record, you know, in the NFC South, second best record in the NFC at 11-4. So kudos to Carolina. I thought that New Orleans was going to win that game and take control of the NFC South, but they didn't. And then Carolina took care of their business. So, all right, so we've got the so we talked about the NFC West. We talked about the NFC South. We talked about the NFC North with the play-in game, right? We've got the Bears and the Packers with the win and you're in game. And then in the NFC East, we've got the Cowboys and the Eagles with the win and you're in game. So
don't forget to mention 23-20 overtime. The Giants beat the Lions. Jim Schwartz and the Lions are officially done. Against Minnesota next week means nothing. Megatron might sit out. AP might sit out. You never know. But it might be time for the chopping block. I don't wish for anybody to lose their job. But that talented team to play the way they did against the Giants when they needed to win to be in, forget about last week, but even this week, that was a horrible loss at home against the Giants who are playing for nothing.
Horrible.
Ray, what
4 years he's had in Detroit, and this guy's got talent, Jim Schwartz. He's got talent, but they're a mini Dallas, you know? They're undisciplined.
Yeah.
They have no structure, or from the outside, it appears that they have no structure and leadership for that team that's got a lot of talent. Their one weakness is the secondary, but you know what? A lot of teams don't have a secondary in this day and age that they like, given that it's such a passing league. But their front seven is very good. Their front four is excellent. The two-headed running back of Joik Bell and Reggie Bush.
I was going to say, your favorite player. 91 yards and a touchdown. Joik
My
Bell,
man,
baby.
Joik.
That's your man.
But
right,
I'm just
there.
Saying, their second receiver kept going down, right? They lost Nate Burleson. They lost Ryan Broyles. But you know what? All that can be overcome.
No excuses.
I feel like no excuses.
Yeah.
They had this division in their hands from midway. And here's the worst part, and this is why I think Jim Schwartz will eventually get fired. Now, he's owed $12 million over the next couple of years, so the Ford family might not want to pay that and pay a new
get
coach.
Get rid of him.
But
yeah, they will.
The reason why you're that much more disappointed, and I wonder where your boy from Texas is. We need to have him call the show again, the Cowboys.
Yeah, Nick.
Man.
Yeah.
Nick, yeah. Is the fact that this year the Bears, the Packers, and the Vikings went more than half the season with backup quarterbacks. And so if in a year that you had your quarterback, Matt Stafford, healthy for all the games, and you had great talent, and you still couldn't pull off the division, shame on you.
Shame on you. It's ridiculous. It's definitely ridiculous. So let's bounce to the AFC. We got those playoff matchups for, you know, and we'll obviously talk about it on Friday. We'll see what happens after tonight. Like Ray said, we will talk about the Monday night at Candlestick and preview it, but talk about it tomorrow, 1 o'clock, as a little special Monday night review show. But when you look at the AFC, obviously, right off the bat, there's four teams still alive for the number six seed. And, you know, up top, they're still juggling between two and three and
well, even
four
one,
and
look,
all that stuff.
And, settled,
well, and
right?
Even one. The Patriots are still alive for one. They smacked up Baltimore 41-7. So this is the question, right? If you're a fan like me of the Steelers or our buddy and caller to the show, Henry, Hank of the Dolphins, do you feel that either one of our teams legitimately – have a good shot to make the playoffs, or is it really probably going to be San Diego or the Ravens? It looks like Andy Reid is going to rest his starters probably for the Chiefs after they lost to the Colts, and San Diego is at home against Kansas City. Right now, that might be the popular pick. Ravens have to go to Cincinnati, but I don't think the Ravens have any mustard left. What do you think out of these four teams?
Steelers
are at home against Cleveland.
Confused with these Ravens. I don't know what to think. They're the defending champs, and they could have put a stranglehold on the playoffs, and they lay an egg at home.
So had a shot for the division still.
Yeah, where is Ray Rice? What's going on there? But putting that aside, the playoff scenarios, I don't remember a year like this where the playoff scenarios, especially in the AFC for that sixth seed, are so confusing because nobody controls their own destiny, right? There's no team that is win and you're in. It all has to do with combinations and tie-break scenarios. So
it makes that exciting.
It does. No, it's great. It did great. So let's start from the bottom, right? The Steelers, the problem with the Steelers is they need a win, okay, but they need Baltimore, Miami, and San Diego to all lose. And I don't know if three teams playing for the playoffs, all three of them lose. So Pittsburgh has the hardest road for sure. Now,
they do.
I think that the Chargers now – the Chargers have the second hardest road because they need to win, like you said, but they also need Baltimore and Miami to lose. So that's and you figure Miami.
Well, Miami,
though,
look, Miami's got the best shot in a way because Miami's at home against the Jets. They played them pretty strongly the early part of the season, and they're at home. I mean, Baltimore's got to go to Cincy. So if you're a Dolphin fan, you know, besides your offensive line and all the incognito and Martin issues and everything, you still got a shot for the playoffs. But I got to say this, they laid an egg. I mean, going up to Buffalo and, you know, the Bills have a good defense, very strong defensive line, but you let Fred Jackson, you know, get 100-plus yards on you and you win, lose 19-0.
And Robert Woods got thrown out of the game, so they didn't even have anybody to throw to Buffalo.
That's only the second or third team, I believe, to be shut out this season. The Giants last week, the Dolphins, and maybe one other team. But that's embarrassing. You know, I mean, Moore, you know, gets brought in. Tannehill gets banged up. You know, have to see what happens. To me, you can't, when your season's on the line like that, to play an egg and to score nothing. I mean, Tannehill threw for 82 yards. 10 for 27. Some of these quarterbacks yesterday had some of the worst games of the season. I mean, you look at Russell Wilson, you look at Tannehill, some of these guys would be really, really bad. But I tell you this, the Buffalo Bills, they're not going to make the playoffs, but in terms of playing spoiler and they can, you know, maybe shock the Patriots and beat them, Spiller gives you 77 and 111 for Fred Jackson, you know, with a TD. You got to like the Bills and Thaddeus Lewis. That's your guy right there. Hey, he's a pretty decent quarterback, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you know, maybe we need him in New York. Backup.
Hey, I will say this, though. We got to mention this. For a record, since 2001, Jimmy Smith was the only receiver to get 5 receptions in all 16 games. And right now, Pierre Garçon and my man and your man, actually, he led me to the fantasy championship in my ESPN league, Antonio Brown.
And I had the both of them in the Ray and Tay league.
Yeah, well, we got to give a shout-out to Ray. Ray's the champ in Ray and Tay today, our first annual fantasy football league. He won, I think it was like 124-98. But so Ray beat up my buddy John Marchese, top dogs. So shout-out to Ray. But the Steelers and Antonio Brown, you could say right now he might be the, you know, fifth best or sixth best receiver in NFL. Antonio Brown needs some love, right? Obviously, you got Megatron, A.J. Green, Dez Bryant, Josh Gordon. But Antonio Brown is right there, you know, with the veteran
Fitzgerald.
He sure is.
And again, the Steelers did all right by letting Mike Wallace go and basically
smart,
saying, we'll
smart.
Roll.
And Le'Veon Bell, can you give some respect? Oh, God, if we were healthy from the beginning of the season – oh, my goodness. Look what Le'Veon Bell is doing, ladies and gentlemen. 26 carries, 124, and a TD.
And now
we've
got all that controversy of Le'Veon Bell versus Eddie Lacy, and we're happy.
Well, look, Eddie Lacy played good, though, too. So let's not, you know.
No, they both did well, and I'm glad
they're
to see
both. They're both great. I mean, you know, to me, you take either one over Giovanni Bernard. I would any day. But Giovanni, you know, all the rookie running backs have had a good season. But I definitely like my guy. I'll stick with him. I mean, hey, Lacy put up, you know, 84 yards. You can't knock him. But Le'Veon Bell wins that battle. So I want to ask you this, though. So we got to talk about the sheriff. Peyton Manning, he breaks Tom Brady's record. Amazing. He's got 51 touchdowns. the Broncos, they were 16-13, and then they, you know, sort of stopped the Texans, and then they went on to explode the game. Texans actually wound up playing pretty decently yesterday for, you know, for like almost two and a half, three quarters. But how impressed, I mean, you know, there's been a little injuries over there in Denver, but you got to be pretty impressed with what Peyton Manning's doing. Clearly the MVP. Other guys have had great seasons. But just give me some thoughts on Peyton Manning and what he, you know, Decker and Julius Thomas breaking, you know, the record with the touchdown. What'd you think about that yesterday?
So Peyton Manning is unbelievable. He's going to win his fifth MVP. He may only have one Super Bowl when it's all said and done. Maybe he'll get another one. Maybe he'll get a second one. Von Miller going down really hurts him.
Yeah, that hurts.
But they played without him for six games, so they're certainly used to it. You know, I don't really have words to describe this guy's excellence, and he really is remarkable. Now, it's in an era where they're throwing a lot more, and I'm pretty convinced, as you are probably too, we talked about this off air, that these records will be broken. Just because, you know, if you breathe in the general direction of a receiver, then you're going to get a personal foul.
Right. If he stays healthy, you got to believe the next guy to break him is probably Aaron Rodgers or... You know,
Aaron Rodgers,
like
Nick Foles, maybe in that crazy up-tempo offense, or maybe it's a guy coming out of college. But these records will be broken because if this trend continues where you can't hit and the strike zone is so small and you can't hit, you know, jam receivers.
But it's also dumb luck, though, too, right? I mean, look, some of the health. I mean, you look at Jermichael Finley, and they had the story on ESPN and that hit. You know, sometimes it's just getting hit the wrong time, the wrong place. Because you can get tackled 1,000 times, but one hit can almost make you paralyzed. So, you know, even for quarterbacks, you know, look at the year when Brady went down and, they, you know, Castle comes in 11-5. You know, it's just that one hit at the leg. So pretty much, except for the one year he missed, Peyton Manning's had a clean, you know, bill of health
to attain these
records.
And the thing is, he's four guys on his team are going to catch double-digit touchdowns, right? So – Wes Welker, who's out for the rest of the year, has his 10 or 11. And then Julius Thomas, Demaryius Thomas, and Eric Decker. So now, these are good receivers. Probably Demaryius Thomas physically is the most gifted of all of these guys, but Julius Thomas is also probably will become pretty special.
You know, in fantasy football, it's the first time ever to have four receivers in the top 20 in fantasy.
Right, and it's all
crazy.
Peyton Manning. I mean, he distributes the ball. He gets the ball to whoever's open. And he's just an incredible, incredible player. And kudos to him. I mean, what more can you say? Great that he came back. Great that his neck is back and he's healed. And it's just love it and enjoy watching, you know, a first ballot Hall of Famer, you know, top quarterback. And it's just a pleasure to watch.
Yeah, it's going to be a very different and sad NFL without Brady and Manning. So as it's dwindling down to the last year or two or three for these guys, you really better soak it up and pull it all in. So continuing the AFC picture, we got to talk about yesterday. Ray picked it, Colts over the Chiefs. I did not think the Chiefs would just show up at home, or should I say not show up at home like this. And Andrew Luck, who, you know, him and Cam Newton, we'll mention them a little bit later in our new segment, but 23-7, Jamaal Charles, you know, tried to do his part, but I think this Colts defense, if you want to say one thing about the Colts this year, Ray, you got to say they have had the best collection of victories to beat the Chiefs, who are going to the playoffs, the Seahawks, the Niners, and the Broncos. The Colts have been the most impressive team in terms of who they've beaten all season. And they do it without Reggie Wayne. What'd you think about this game?
Absolutely, and I thought it would happen. I thought once Tamba Ali and Houston went down, that now Holly's back, right? But that team has not been the same. And as good as
they have
Alex
been good offensively
is,
for a couple weeks. You didn't think they'd score 7 points. Come on.
No. I thought it would be much closer than that. I thought it would be, you know, like a 23-20 type of game. But they're not explosive. And if you can check Jamaal Charles, which teams have had trouble doing, but if you can check Jamaal Charles,
106,
then you've got a chance against this team. Hold on. Looks like we've got a caller. Maybe he'll want to talk some NFL.
Hello.
Hello, caller. You're on the air with Ray and Tay today.
Hey, My name's Elijah Harvey, and I was just, I'm a Cardinals fan, and as you know, my Cardinals pulled off a big win yesterday against the Seahawks, and I was wondering, what do you think the chances would be of, first off, the Niners losing tonight, and second off, even if they do, the Cardinals making the playoffs and try and make some, like, some noise?
Wow, great call, young fella. So, Arizona Cardinals, look, they have a tough road because they need the Niners to lose twice. And obviously they, you know, they control their destiny next week. But this week, it all comes down to this week, basically. They need the Falcons to win tonight. And we were going to preview that, but we'll just jump into it. So, look, I think it's going to be
I'll say this. As a Cardinal fan, you've got to be proud. Bruce Arians could be Coach of the Year, probably if it's not for Belichick.
Yeah.
You've got young receivers in Floyd. You've got to love Ellington. Your defense is great. Tyrann Mathieu, who got injured, was a steal in the draft, turns out. And really, you probably need to draft a quarterback, and Carson Palmer can help, you know, let him, you know, train him. He could hold the clipboard for a year like Aaron Rodgers or so. And your future is bright. So even if you don't make the playoffs, you still got to be hyped up. You can pound your chest as a Cardinal fan because you guys are back, even though you are in the best division in football. The Rams, if the Rams ever shock the Seahawks, the Rams can wind up 8-8, and everybody in your division would be above 500. But, hey, look, you got a shot. I mean, Matt Ryan, the Falcons, maybe they show up tonight. Maybe Gonzalez, you know, his last game or last game at Candlestick, maybe Gonzalez on Monday Night Football, you know, and maybe the Falcons just get it together. But either way, you got a shot to at least show yourself strong at 11-5 by beating the Niners next week, which is very possible at home.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for the great call.
All right, Eliza.
Okay.
Good call. Thanks a lot, man.
Bye.
So that was a great call. We like the young callers, right? And like you said, at 10-5, look, worst comes to worst, they lose next week, they're 10-6. It's still a fantastic season. They might be 11-6 with a chance to go to the playoffs. So for them, I mean, they need to all go out there and put on their Atlanta Falcons hats. And then if they root real, real hard and the Falcons win tonight, then they control their own destiny. So, hey, Cardinal Nation, rise up. You haven't had this much excitement since the Super Bowl, since Santonio Holmes broke your heart in the Super Bowl. Good times in Arizona. You got to figure out how to replace Carson Palmer eventually, and what you're going to do with that running back combination of Ellington.
Well, you
got
to draft a quarterback this year. You got to definitely draft a quarterback in this draft. There are a couple of good ones, and then you develop them. Palmer can maybe last one more year, you know, and I think that's the way to go. And I think Bruce Arians knows that. He just, you know, I think he knows, you know, what he's got to do with that. So, look, we talked about the playoff scenarios, AFC, NFC. Monday night, I got to say, basically, for me, the dream probably stops tonight. It's Candlestick. It's the last game. It's Montana, Rice, Roger Craig, Rathman, all the guys. I think the Niners, they kind of put it on the Falcons. I think Matt Ryan is having a down season. Gonzalez might do something, but the Niners' defense is going to flex their muscles, and Kaepernick, he'll be able to eat up the Falcons' defense, which is just, it's not that much. Steven Jackson might be able to do a little something. He might, that's their only chance. He might be able to, you know, pound for 80 to 100 yards. But I got the Niners. I got the Niners winning. I'll make it a little close. 26-20. Niners beat the Falcons.
Okay, I got the Niners putting up a little bit more than that. I think the Niners will win 30-23. But
wow.
Yeah, it'll be an emotional night in Candlestick. Look, it's a horrible facility if you've ever been there, but it's home to so many memories. And we'll talk about this tomorrow at 1:00 Eastern. We've got a special show, quick
15-minute
show about Candlestick Park, the 49ers shutting it down. Look, the baseball team, the San Francisco Giants, moved out of there about, 8 or 9 years ago, and they got into their beautiful park at AT&T, and now the 49ers are moving out to
Santa Clara,
where they practice. So finally, that facility is going to be, you know, is going to be put to rest. But that was an unbelievable team. That was an unbelievable run they had. Bill Walsh,
Montana to Clark.
Montana, yeah. It started with Montana to Clark,
Solomon.
And it ended with
yeah.
Rice. You know, Steve Young to Jerry Rice, and they came close last year to winning a Super Bowl.
Yeah,
and heck, they might
they
win
did.
A Super Bowl this year. Who knows?
Frank Gore and the boys, they've had some great players, and we'll talk about great players, moments, everything. But it is time for our new segment. Rante, you know we have our segments. A lot of people like some of the more popular ones when we say I'm sorry or champs and chums or you're not ready. But this one is called Doing More with Less. And this time we can focus on players or coaches, maybe even teams. We're going to focus on two players. Two quarterbacks in the NFL. Ray, I bid you adieu to stand up and tell me who does more with less in your eyes.
So I'm going to give you my guy in a second. At first, I want to give you an honorable mention. And he's a Hall of Famer, so it's hard to completely say that, you know, he goes under the radar screen because he certainly doesn't. But talk about a guy who's doing more with less. Tom Brady is out there balling with Julian Edelman, who was a college quarterback converted, and Danny Amendola, who, if you remember the very first Hard Knocks, was cut off the Dallas practice squad and then made his way to St. Louis and then eventually to New England. Loses Hernandez, obviously. Loses Gronkowski for the first six games and then, you know, for the last few games. Kembrell Tompkins and Aaron Dobkin, everybody's hurt around him, and yet this guy still continues to win games and has a chance at the number one seed in the AFC. So honorable mention, Tom Brady. So just had to get that on the record. Just wanted everybody
to
know.
Get that off your chest.
Yeah,
and I salute that and agree with that as well. I got to say that. Tom Brady's he's been amazing this season.
Yeah. So
not good for fantasy, but good for wins and victories.
In real life, yeah. So my guy doing more with less, you mentioned him a little bit earlier in the show, is one Andrew Luck of the Indianapolis Colts. This guy came into a team that had won two games last year and basically had a very similar roster to the one that went 2-14. And he shows up and immediately proves why he was the number one overall pick. Yet, in the offseason, he loses Austin Colley, he loses Pierre Garçon, he loses Trent Richardson four games in. Now, Donald Brown has stepped up, so I can't you know, knock Donald Brown. But you, obviously you lose depth at quarterback. And he proceeds to go and drive his team to the playoffs again. So, and like you said.
Right, Richardson
him,
was this year, though. Yeah,
yeah, no, I'm saying between,
oh,
last, between the
yeah.
off-season of losing Pierre Garçon, Austin Colley, and then Richardson, and then five or six games into the season, he loses Reggie Wayne. So this guy, our guy Andrew Luck, talk about throwing to nobody. This guy is throwing to T.Y. Hilton, Colby Fleener, Darius Hayward-Bey, Griff Whalen, Derek Rogers, and LaVon Brazil. And Stan Havili. So, I mean, talk about making household names out of players that nobody really knew. Maybe T.Y. Hilton turns into a player, and maybe Colby Fleener, you know, becomes a solid player.
They're already
end,
players. Come on, show them some respect.
Well, they're
good.
Players, but I'm talking about this guy is about to throw for 8,000 yards over his first two seasons. So, Andrew, and win games, right? It's easy to throw for a lot of yards and not win games.
Well, right. That's
but
that's
this guy
the main
is winning
nugget.
Games. In the construct of winning games, he is doing his thing. And you, like you said, they beat San Francisco. They beat Seattle. They beat Denver. They beat Kansas City. I mean, this team is unbelievable. Now, they've had a couple of bad losses, but they're 10-5. 5-2 at home, 5-3 on the road, complete balance. This Indianapolis Colts team is really impressive, and at the head of this is my man doing more with less, Andrew Luck.
All right. My guy's from Atlanta, Georgia. He's 6'5", 245 pounds.
He's a big boy.
He's not a linebacker, ladies and gentlemen. He's not a defensive lineman. This is a quarterback named Cameron, what we call him, Cam Newton for the Carolina Panthers. The record that this guy has, by the way, just outdueled Drew Brees, game-winning drive to Ted Ginn Jr. to, you know, basically not only clinch the playoff spot, but in his third season to, you know, be a complete true leader. But what is most impressive about Cam Newton, in three seasons, he already has 62 touchdowns passing, and he has over, and he has 28 touchdowns rushing. This is incredible. He's the only to have, only quarterback to have over 50 and 20. And to me, from 2011, 12 and 13, each year, his quarterback rating is basically has, you know, slowly gone up from 84 to 86. This year it's at 89. And Cam Newton, he's got this team in the playoffs with a non-top 10 tight end in Greg Olsen. He was better in Chicago. He's slow now. Steve Smith, who, you know, in his three seasons has been in and out of the lineup, and now Steve Smith just went down. A small receiver who's really not a number one anymore. Ted Ginn Jr., Brandon LaFell, basically
journeyman.
And what I'm trying to tell you, basically, he's doing it by himself. He's got some running backs that Tal always likes to mention, and they're pretty good. D'Angelo Williams, Jonathan Stewart, Tolbert. They've been injured in the last couple of seasons, even this season, as well. And guess what? He still gets your rushing touchdowns. This year, not as much. He's being a little bit wiser, but he still gets the first downs. Six rushing touchdowns the year before, eight his rookie season, 14. Killer Cam has got his team to the playoffs, and what I love about him is that his completion percentage is starting to, you know, go up. It went from it's pretty good, 60 the first year. Now it's at 62. He dropped a little bit last year, 57, a sophomore slump. But Cam Newton, ladies and gentlemen, is a winner. And it's less yards. Yes, 4,000 the first year, 38 last year. Now it's only 32 with one game left. But he's winning. So what Cam Newton is doing is making the big drive against the Patriots, making the big drive against the Saints, and he is in the playoffs. So doing more with less, it is Cam Newton of the Carolina Panthers. Heisman Trophy winner, first-round pick,
11-4, Cam Newton.
Woo! You got to love it. That's
yeah.
My guy, man.
So let's keep it moving.
Well, let's get to the beats for a second, take a quick break, and we will bring you the NBA with Ray and Ted.
We're back, and we're back to talk college, some college football quickly, some college hoops, and some NBA.
You know what I thought was interesting that I got to tell you? When you look at, you know, obviously we have our college bowl mania in our picks. College football is, you know, tournaments have started. East Carolina won today, 37-20 over Ohio. So, you know, shout out to them. USC. Some people might have been thinking Fresno State was going to do it. They were ranked all season. They were 20. USC was 25. USC and your boy Lee, they won 45-20. So we got to salute. We got to definitely give USC their props. Just a, you know, little college football. And why don't you tell us who won the AP Coach of the Year?
Gus Malzahn at Auburn wins Coach of the Year. It might be a repeat of Cam Newton's year, right? When Cam Newton, Cam Newton's coach, Gene Chizik won the Coach of the Year, and then they win the national championship. But really quick, that USC Fresno game, Fresno State game, you've got two top 10 players being profiled, or two top 15. 15 players probably being profiled in that game, and Marquise Lee and Carr, David Carr's little brother. So that was a good one to watch. Saw some of the highlights of that game. Kudos to USC for putting up 45 in a game. You know, they're in that transition phase between coaches. We got some more college football. We'll talk about it more next week. College basketball. Now, if we're talking college, college basketball came out with their new top 25. Pretty much the same as last week.
The same, yeah.
So we've got Arizona, Syracuse, Ohio State, Wisconsin, Michigan State, Louisville, Oklahoma State.
Defending champs move up, yeah.
Villanova back in the top 10. Duke, and then
Wichita State
round out the top 10. So not crazy action this week in college, but, you know, we'll keep our eyes out on it, and then conference play starts in January, so we'll definitely bring you that. So a lot to talk about when college hoop season gets into conference play. But just want to keep our eye out on that top 25 for you. Basically, Arizona, 63 first-place votes. Syracuse, 2 first-place votes. And those two, along with Ohio State and Wisconsin, are the four, you know, major undefeated teams. You throw Villanova in there, they haven't played as strong a schedule, but they're undefeated.
You know who looked
too.
Good this weekend? I'm going to tell you this. Kansas looked good. Kansas looked good. They took care of Georgetown. Kentucky beat Belmont, you know, some of these different games. But I thought that Kansas Jayhawks, they're starting to get to a place where they don't shoot a lot of threes, but they can rebound, they can defend, they share the ball. And it's not just Wiggins. You know, obviously you got the big guy inside who's being compared to Olajuwon.
Well, Joel Embiid, yeah, if he turns out to be a player and he's like a mini Shaq, gosh,
yeah,
I wish he'd stay 4 years. I mean, this, you know,
Hakeem
stayed 4 years. Patrick Ewing stayed 4 years. Timmy Duncan
stayed four years.
Yeah. Shaq stayed 3 years. Now, all because they had to. Well, they didn't really have to. I mean, there wasn't a one and done, right? I guess they could have went from high school. But big men develop slowly, and especially a kid like this that's coming from a different country, didn't grow up playing
basketball.
Who's
new to the game.
Yeah. He's new to the game. You know, Hakeem Olajuwon should be his idol. And Hakeem Olajuwon played 4 years at the University of Houston. Hakeem Abdul Olajuwon.
Just
and
imagine
if
Wiggins got to develop for 2 years, too. If these kids could stay 2 years, it could be, you know, listen, it would be amazing, and college basketball would be in such a great place. What's interesting, though, perfect segue from college hoops to the NBA, they're talking about switching the lottery and making the NBA draft a wheel, you know, I guess the wheel system, which would be, I don't know, you know, how they would do it. I guess maybe they're talking just strictly by records or spinning the wheel and you get the number one pick like that. I don't know. So that's going to be kind of interesting.
Yeah, especially relevant this year because of the tanking, and they're afraid that teams are tanking to get into the draft lottery to get a top five pick. I don't think they should tinker at all with it. I think it's fine. I think it used to be the coin flip between the two worst teams. Now it's the four worst teams have the, you know, obviously the best chance of winning, and the worst team is guaranteed of no worse than number four. So I think the lottery is fine. I think it actually works out well. I just think this year in particular, because there's so much hype from the high school kids, so the Jabari Parkers and the Andrew Wigginses of the world, that people got a little caught up in the moment. But I think this stuff evens out. I actually like the NBA draft lottery. I think it's the fairest,
it's
the best system.
Very,
out
very
there.
Exciting. Now, look, let's go to the NBA because I'm upset. Number one,
why are you upset? Talk to me.
I'm not upset in this sense. Being a New York basketball fan, it means you're a Knicks fan, but also you look at the Brooklyn Nets, and you got to feel bad that Brook Lopez injured his foot, the one that he already had surgery on, and he's basically done for the season. So at 9-17, you don't know what's going on. There are rumors of trading, Lynn, trading for Ashik and Lynn, and then maybe shipping Darren Williams out of town. I mean, I don't know they're talking about. But the Atlantic Division, we'll start there. I mean, you got the Raptors with the 4 seed. The Celtics have been playing pretty good ball at the 8 seed. But give Toronto credit, right? Since the trade, they've been playing pretty good ball. They're 11-14, which sounds horrible to say that. But they did give Oklahoma City Thunder their first loss at home and a good road win. So, you know, kind of happy for the Toronto Raptors, who are 7-6 on the road, playing good ball. And the Knicks, we got to talk about it because that was an ugly loss on Saturday, 12 o'clock Eastern, to the Grizzlies. They're 8-18. Ray, do we have to just move Shumpert? It doesn't seem like, and we talked about this with Ian Begley from ESPN New York when he joined our show. I don't know if anybody wants Shumpert, and his shooting percentage keeps going down and down and down. JR had a good game the other night, so it looks like JR is waking up and coming back. But do we also need to just say, hey, Melo, sign this deal, or we got to trade you because we're not going to just lose you and you leave us? Where are you at with this? What are you thinking?
Well, for sure you can't just lose Melo. So you got to come to a backroom decision with Melo, and you got to tell him, look, we did everything you wanted. In fact, Ray, I was screaming at the Knicks for doing this because Donnie Walsh got – his power got usurped, and that's eventually why he left. Is the Knicks ended up trading, remember, in February – for Carmelo. Carmelo got everything he wanted. He got the trade in the middle of the season. He got the max contract because they were able to use their Larry Bird rules to sign him. But the problem is it depleted the Knicks of, at the time, Felton, Gallinari, Mozgov, and Wilson Chandler. Now, you could argue the Knicks could have had all of those players and Carmelo if they had waited until the summertime to sign him or struck a more aggressive negotiating stance with Denver at the time. So you tell Carmelo, you say, look, we gave you everything, but we ended up depleting our roster for this. We tried the Amari experiment. For whatever reason, it didn't work out. First, there was some you know, your games didn't really mesh, and now with injuries, Tyson Chandler was a great signing. Jason Kidd was a great signing, but he's now retired. So you got to give us a chance. And I was talking off air to Hank, and we were talking about the Knicks. And basically, if you're so enamored, Carmelo, with the signings that they did in Miami, then are you willing to take less if we were to get a superstar in here with you? Are you willing to take less than the Larry Bird, Max?
Right, because
extension?
People don't realize LeBron's not selfish, neither is Wade or Bosch. They not only sacrificed Wade and Bosch, their scoring more, but they also sacrificed a couple of million dollars. And in doing that, you know, per season, in doing that, it gave them the ability to not only play together with three megastars, but to bring in a Battier, a Ray Allen, a Rashard Lewis, like, you know,
Mike
little
Miller,
sidebar players. Exactly. But it definitely, you know, really helped. And so that's the question. Now, this is the other issue, though, just separate from that. They're poo-pooing a trade for Kyle Lowry. Can they do anything that Boston would even care about to get Rondo? You know, no. Basically, it's what can we do if you want to come back and you're going to take less? We're still going to have to change this roster. The roster, Felton, I love Felton, but I don't know if it's worked out. And maybe it could work out if you bring in somebody else. I don't know if somehow, you know, we got to wait for Amari's books, you know, him to get off the books. So maybe in 2 years, maybe it's Kevin Love. So maybe you could strike a deal. But we're in a bad situation. And, oh, by the way, I want to just give a shout-out. It's not in the East. It's in the West. Paul Gasol, the other night, played amazing. This is Friday night after our show. I'm watching the Lakers. And, you know, I was like, they were like, Kobe who? I mean, you got Nick Young, who basically is going to be sixth man of the year because JR's not doing it and Jamal Crawford's been starting since Redick's been out. Nick Young, 19 a game, is doing his thing. And Paul Gasol was amazing in the Lakers win. And then they lose the next night and they play Phoenix tonight without Gasol and no Kobe and no, you know, Nash, Blake. I mean, D'Antoni is actually doing more with less this year as a coach. You know, he would be a nominee for that. So I just had to shout him out. What do you think about what's going on with the Pistons and the Pacers, you know, staying in the East? Are you thinking anybody else?
We talked a lot about the West, the last couple weeks. And, shout out to all those guys out there in Portland and in Oklahoma City and San Antonio keeps doing their thing. And you know, there's four really excellent teams at the top, and then the next four are really good, too. You figure Golden State and Houston, and Golden State needs to get their act together, but I think they will. So Golden State,
and Phoenix,
Houston,
and number
Denver,
six.
Phoenix. You know,
they just beat Denver and Dallas back-to-back.
Yeah,
16-10.
That Dragic, Bledsoe backcourt, the Morris twins up front. And like we said, if they ever get anything, any size out of Alex Len, that's a real, real interesting team. Now, in terms of the East, right, we talked about on Friday, we talked about how good this Indiana Pacers team is, and you know what? They're 50-50 to go to the finals. I mean, I can't say that I really, really at this point in time think that the Heat, you know, have an easy – they probably have an easy walk to the finals, the conference finals. But Indiana, that's a coin toss.
Well, Granger played good in the second game back, you know, after the first game. And the second game, he, you know, 12 points, a couple, you know, 20-some-odd minutes. That's what I see him, 23, 25 minutes a game. And, you know, they're looking okay. The Bobcats and Wizards are starting to play good now, both at 5-6 in the playoffs. You know, almost playing 500 ball, the Wizards.
Atlanta, here's
that's
the question.
Interesting
is Atlanta
team.
For real? I mean, can they do anything? I mean, right now, they're
I don't think they can.
The third best record in the conference.
15-12, not bad. 15-12. I don't know if they can sustain this. I mean, but 15-12, they would almost be in the playoffs in the West. So
to me,
look,
the
15-12,
the
Hawks are playing better than
the
Warriors.
The team that gives you the most amount of intrigue is the Detroit Pistons.
Yes.
Just because of the talent that they have, the size that they have. So you don't really want to face them in a series because this kid, Andre Drummond, is just grabbing all boards. And his sidekick on the boards, Greg Monroe. And, oh, by the way, you got Josh Smith, who can, when he wants to, grab 10, 12 rebounds himself.
Jennings and Stuckey.
And
this
then
is,
Jennings
told,
and Stuckey
legit.
Can score. You know, they got a little bit of a weak bench in Bynum and Singler, but you know, Caldwell Pope, if he turns out to be a player, Billups gives them that leadership and that, you know, veteran presence that they could fall back on. You know, they're a little disappointing that they're only 13-16, given that the East is so weak. But I tell you what, that's a team that you don't want to see in the playoffs, just because they're one of those teams that they got size, they have athletes, they have some scoring, and you never
They're
know.
Long.
Never
they can
know.
Defend. When you've got Josh Smith playing your three, you can be a very dangerous team because that means he can athletically, he can match up with LeBron, and they can bully a team like the Heat in the East. And that's the only way you're going to get through Miami. You're not going to basically, you're not going to beat them with speed and try to beat them with athleticism. You're going to have to go over the top like the Pacers do, down their throats, bang Bosch, bang any, you know, Joel Anthony or Birdman or Odin, whoever they put in the middle. You're going to have to be physical with them. And I think they can. And this Kartavius Pope kid, I think defensively he's actually pretty nice. And, you know, nobody's going to stop Dwayne Wade. But, you know, you like the fact that, look, Brandon Jennings is going to be better than Cole and Chambers. And so he's got to win that point differential by, you know, 20 to, like, you know, 15 every night. You know, he's got to really score and do things. So we'll see how it plays out. I put it like this. It's going to be exciting as the season goes on, you know, for the NBA and what happens.
Yeah, I just hope that the East becomes more competitive. I hope that three or four teams emerge over 500 and you start to get not just Miami and Indiana as the interesting teams in the East. You know, we talked about Detroit, maybe Chicago looks like they're heading in one direction, and it's the wrong direction.
And Washington, if the Wizards get healthy, that's a pretty interesting, exciting team. You're waiting for Otto Porter to get back and do things, and you got, you know, Ariza, the Beal, and your boy John Wall. So there's some hope and potential there, especially if Gortat can,
Marcin,
you know, solidify. Yeah, man, solidify the center. Listen, I'm all hyped up about the Phoenix Suns, man. My Knicks are breaking my heart, so the Suns are exciting basketball
to watch.
Well, you know
what's great
about say that.
What's great about Washington is that they've got, I think they've got what, all, they got six guys that score, you know, 13 a game or more. I think Beal and Wall are averaging almost 20. And then they've got the rest of the crew, Ariza and Nene and Gortat and even Martell Webster. I mean, they
yeah, he's playing very good.
Score. So the question is, can they defend? They have a lot of youth and a lot of athleticism, and they have size. You know, when they put Booker and Nene and Marcin Gortat out there, and even like an Al Harrington, you know, he's not playing now, but he's 6'9", and Webster 6'8", and, you know, these guys are big. Beal and Wall are, you know, decent size in the backcourt. Trevor Ariza can play some D. So this team, to me, has potential, and they're, you know, about to go over 500. So let's see if they can put a few wins together and be a 500 team and press for the you know, press for one of those top four or five seeds.
Well, you know, it's going to be fun. Christmas Day, the games, you know, you got five of them. And I'll be interested to see Durant and Melo, the two back-to-back scoring champs, going at it. But if the Thunder, you know, embarrass us on TV, get ready for a Knick move. We lose by 20 on national television Christmas Day. I think there's going to be something going down in Madison Square Garden pretty soon. That's just one of my little predictions. But it'll be fun to watch, and, you know, hey, another great show, and
Merry Christmas, everybody out there. All of our listeners will be back on Friday to recap the Monday night game. We'll talk about the Wednesday NBA Christmas Day game.
Be back on Tuesday tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, we'll be back Tuesday for a quick segment about the Niners and about Candlestick Park, and then we'll be back regular time on Friday to talk all the sports of the week. So great show. Ray and Tate, today we had a blast with you. Have a great week. Have a Merry Christmas. If you don't listen to our show tomorrow, we'll catch you on Friday.
Talk to you on Friday, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for talking sports with friends. We're out. Ray and Tate.